he whispers, looking into my wild eyes, pulling me by the back of my neck to his mouth. Our tongues mesh together, sliding back and forth forcefully in a devilish tease as our chests seal, rubbing against each other. I've never felt so awakened and present. I'm totally living in the moment with him, finally enjoying my downfall, the release of inhibitions, the becoming of me. "Have you done this before?" I ask, not even caring about the answer at the moment.
"Never."
His eyes are wide with wonder and excitement.
"I just already know."
He reaches around my thighs as I scoot up further onto his chest so he can undo his pants, pushing them down his thighs just enough to do what we need to do. He pulls himself free of his boxers with a slight grunt, and I slide my underwear to the side, angling myself for him. His chest is rising and falling with a quickened speed, his eyes locked in on mine, as he brushes himself against me before pressing the swollen head of his cock into me. I hold on to his soft, warm chest, rubbing my thumbs over his nipples, causing him to hiss through his teeth as I sink down onto him. Every inch that I take in, feeling like an explosion of endorphins and adrenaline within me.
"Oh, fuck. I can't."
He drops his head back against the seat, closing his eyes as his hands fall to the side.
"I can't take it."
"Oh God, Cam." I moan breathlessly as I glide up and down his hard, slick shaft. "This is amazing." Once I reach the base of him, feeling him deeper than ever before, I adjust to the thickness and begin moving faster. The warmth and immeasurable sensation of us connected has me crying out as I find my pace. His facial expressions and the sounds escaping his throat are the sexiest thing I've ever seen, and I will do anything to keep him looking like he's immersed in the best experience of his life.
"Oh, you're doing amazing,"
he praises.
"Open your mouth for me."
I part my lips, sticking my tongue out slightly as he places the two fingers that were just inside of me onto his tongue. He quickly sucks them, then places them in my mouth.
"Taste yourself. You're so fucking sweet."
I suck on his fingers as I continue swallowing his thick cock in my walls, sending shockwaves of pleasure through him. He can barely keep his eyes from rolling into the back of his head at the sensation of being inside me in two different ways. He grabs for the back of my neck, pulling my forehead down against his as he continues, thrusting his hips up into me, filling me with his hard, velvety cock.
"Oh, fuck, you make me feel so alive."
I love this feeling of enjoying something so new, so erotic, and so wild with him. I love that I make him feel those same things, that together, we're in the depths of our own darkest desires, spiraling completely out of control. "You've awakened me," I reply. Running my tongue over his lip ring, I find my way into his mouth, kissing him with my entire body before pulling back to look at him again. I see everything now, so clearly, like I've been asleep my whole life until you. We're totally rolling on our high together, exploring these newfound sensations as we continue connecting in the most exhilarating way. I can't get enough of him. My heart, my soul, everything aches to be the one for this man. I've given in now. I've let go entirely. I'm here, and I've made my decision. I've fallen into the only thing I've tried to deny myself. But I won't deny myself this anymore. As much as it doesn't make sense to me, I know, somewhere deep in my heart, it's right. We are right.
"Go,"
he whispers, trying to get my attention. I've sealed my eyes shut as the sensations electrifying throughout me become too much to bear while I ride him, my sex rippling with pleasure at every roll of my hips to meet his.
"Baby,"
he comments again, wanting to say something. I blink my eyes open to find him watching me.
Tell me you love me.
He demands, his emotional eyes staring through me.
It's okay if you don't. You don't have to mean it. I just want to hear you say it.
My eyebrows draw together in confusion. I feel the pain, the agony, the heartbreak burning through his soul. As much as I'd like to believe it's simply the Molly talking, I get the sense that it only released his insecurities, his needs. He's desperate to be cared for, so much so that even me lying to him would satisfy this primal need to be loved. How could you ask me that? I question, feeling horrible for what he's going through. He places his hands above my hips where his fingers claw into me, lifting me up and driving himself deep again with a guttural groan in his throat.
Just tell me. Tell me you love me.
He says again, pleading with me. I won't lie to you, Cameron. I sink down onto him again, causing his eyes to squint as his lips part open.
I just want to know what it's like. Just once.
He pulls me down to him, kissing me, his tongue running the length of mine while his legs bend at the knee, giving more leverage to push up into me. There's no coming back from this. I love you. I whisper the words after I pull away from his kiss, looking down at his chest. He thrusts into me harder, making me gasp with a quick burst of pleasure, then tips my chin up to face him.
Look at me,
he says breathlessly but with urgency.
Cole, look at me when you say it.
We're colliding together with such a force now that my eyes are watering. I moan and cry out as he continues to drive into me, pulling me down onto his lap again and again, the bottom of my thigh slapping against the top of his. With his hand around the back of my neck, he pulls me down onto him, holding me tightly in place, planting himself deeply into my walls while we stare into each other, waiting for the phrase he so desperately seeks. I love you. I say the words, finding his soul beneath the surface of his ocean-like eyes, and it changes me. I love you, Cameron. I can't describe the feeling. It's terrifying, it's amazing, it's real, and it's so completely raw. I feel stripped of everything that I am because my truth is now exposed, even to myself. I love him, and I can't explain it. It doesn't make sense to me, but I guess it's not supposed to. He looks at me with the saddest, most appreciative expression. I don't know the last time he's ever heard someone say they loved him like this. Maybe never. He trusts me enough to let me in, to show me how much something like this means to him, how everything before this didn't matter, because now he's seen love. He's seen the truth in my eyes, and now he's drowning in it. He looks in amazement at my lips as if he could see the words on my truth-telling tongue. He gazes into my eyes, stilling for a moment to catch his breath.
Cole, I love you.
The words fall from his lips so easily, almost as if they weren't intentional. But they are. I feel myself begin to spasm around him, and I know it's only a matter of seconds before I fall. He sucks my bottom lip, rotating his hips, stirring himself inside me, making me feel so full in every way. I cry out, bracing myself with both hands on the sides of his neck, our foreheads together as the electrifying feeling stems through my entire body. Oh God, I feel it. It's happening. I moan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, yeah, let go around me.
He groans, driving harder into me as I reach my orgasm.
Come for me, baby, fall into it.
I start to shake, embracing the explosive orgasm that literally takes over my body as I feel him shudder beneath me. finding my lips and keeping them connected. He loses himself in me with a breathy groan that leaves his throat as the muscles in his abdomen contract. His mouth opens as his eyes seal shut. I feel the warmth of him deep inside me. He continues the motions, the slippery wetness intensifying between us, knowing that no condom was used. "Cameron," I whisper breathlessly, holding his face between my palms, the numbing sensation taking over. He drops his head back against the seat, gazing at me with half-lidded eyes, his chest billowing. We're both basking in the aftermath of our pleasure. "I told you I wouldn't lie to you."
"I love you too, Cole,"
he answers with a lazy half-grin, his palm against my cheek, thumb brushing along my cheekbone.
"I do. It doesn't even make sense to me how we got here, but I do."
We are both in so deep. Too deep. The depth we've succumbed to will drown us in darkness, both of us willing. 34. In over my head. He holds me in his arms as the sun rises beyond the rolling hills of fog. We just sit together, hands holding one another, our fingers softly sliding apart then back together as we stare into eyes that reflect us. Tonight was one of the most amazing nights of my life. I've never known a person who can pull so many emotions out of me, someone who can make me feel awakened to the chance at a new life. A different life, one filled with love and openness, one filled with acceptance and hope. His hands and eyes are doing that thing again. It feels like he's studying me, memorizing this moment, cataloging it into his brain for the day he won't have it in front of him. I can't stand it. "I love you," I whisper, running my hand through his hair, playing with it between my fingers. His eyebrows draw together as his forehead wrinkles, a pained expression that shows me everything he's feeling.
"I've never said it to anyone before,"
he begins.
"Never felt it. I've never heard it fall from someone's lips when they were looking at me like you are now."
He swallows, his throat bobbing while looking back and forth between my eyes. "I love you. I love you. I love you." I repeat it again and again, needing to fill him up with all the times he's never heard it. He smiles, biting the corner of his lip before placing them softly against mine for a sweet, sensual kiss.
"Is this real? God, I feel like I'm dreaming,"
he whispers, running his fingers softly along my cheekbone down to my jaw and lips. "I know the feeling," I reply, warming with the familiar tightness in my chest.
"How do we climb back down from our cloud?"
he asks, looking around at the fog surrounding us in the hills. We are in our own little world up here, hidden in the trees, looking down at the dark reality that lies beneath us, just waiting to wreak havoc on what we've so recently found. "We do it together," I say, grabbing his hand in mine. "Together." He looks nervous, anxious, unsure, knowing it won't be easy. I've been gone all night with him. I don't even know if Patrick knows I'm not home. My phone is empty, without messages, without calls. He could very well have been sleeping while all of this occurred. I make the trip back home with Hawk riding next to me, his hand in mine. We pull into the driveway, seeing Patrick's car. Taking in a shaky breath as I exit the vehicle, I walk into the quiet house with him on my heels. I don't think Patrick's even awake yet. I didn't plan how I would explain us walking in together, but truthfully, I kind of hoped he just sees us so we could get this all over with. How horrible is that? But he isn't up yet. Hawk heads to crash in his room for a while, lingering by his door before he does, waiting for a kiss. My heart flutters nervously as I give him a quick kiss. He smirks at me adoringly, not wanting to let go of my hand as I slowly pull away. I immediately get into the shower, reluctantly washing away the memories of the night. If I could bask in the smell of Hawk all day, I would. After exiting the shower, I walk out into the bedroom Patrick and I share, gasping as I see him, sitting at the edge of the bed, his elbows on his knees, face in his hands. He knows. "Oh, my God, I didn't know you were awake," I comment, my heart racing in fear. He sits there for a moment, looking at the floor, then drops his hands, looking up at me with a straight face that slowly slides into a grin. I'm terrified, feeling the iciness of his look travel up my spine, and I'm sure it shows.
"About ready to head out?"
he asks with an upbeat voice. Huh?
"The family brunch. Why don't you finish getting ready and I'll get some coffee going."
Does he know I came in late this morning? Did he hear me with Hawk? Did he see us? Did someone else see us? I can't gauge what's happening right now. "Oh, yeah. Okay. Perfect," I stutter out, trying to keep my cool whilst figuring this all out. After drying and curling my hair and getting into a comfortable sundress, I try to apply my light makeup with shaking hands, contemplating how I'm going to go about this. I don't have any sort of plan. No speech prepared. Nothing. It's all happening so fast. I walk out into the kitchen, nervously biting my bottom lip as I turn the corner, surprised to see both Hawk and Patrick sitting at the kitchen table together. Patrick sees me first and his face lights up with a smile at my appearance. He must not know. Hawk sees Patrick's face change and turns his head, leaning back from his seat to look at me. Patrick gets up, walking closer for a hug, but all I see are Hawk's narrowed eyes taking me in from head to toe. He sits up in his seat, seemingly uncomfortable as Patrick's hands wander from my lower back to the bottom of my ass, cupping where the skin meets my thigh. I swallow nervously, watching Hawk's fist curl into itself, before Patrick pulls back and I plaster on my fake smile.
"I've got the ingredients for the potatoes in the car. Figured you could just pop them in over there while everything else is cooking,"
he mentions, grabbing my purse for me that's hanging on the chair where Hawk's sitting. He leans forward so Patrick can retrieve it as we exchange an awkward glance. I'm showing him the pain in my eyes for this situation. I have to get out of this. "Pat, I'm feeling a little off. Maybe I can make the potatoes and just head home for the afternoon? I think I'm coming down with something." I touch the back of my hand to my forehead, wincing my eyes.
"Nice try, Nick. You're not getting out of this one that easy."
He rolls his eyes, chuckling as Hawk glares at the back of his head, the tension in his face more than evident. I have, unfortunately, used this excuse before to not hang out with his family. I'm screwed.
"Your throat hurt? Kinda sore? Mine's been a little sore, kinda dry, too."
Hawk grabs his neck, clearing his throat.
"Must be something going around."
He's trying to help me. Ugh, I love him. "Kinda, yeah," I nod, agreeing.
"Nick, please, we don't have to stay long, I promise."
He grabs my hands in his, giving me a sweet smile.
"I just need to wash up real quick, then we can head out. Give me 10 minutes.
He gives me a quick peck on the cheek while Hawk glares from his seat at the table. Finally hearing the shower start up in the bathroom, I breathe a sigh of relief. I walk over to the counter where the coffee pot is, bending forward with my forehead against the cool surface as the coffee continues to drip next to me. I hear Hawk approach me from behind.
"You all right?"
he asks quietly. I sigh against the surface, then straighten, turning towards him. "Yeah, I'll be fine. This is just, I don't know. I'm sorry." He looks down at me through the dark locks hanging in front of his eyes, moving in closer to wrap his arms around my waist. His hips pin me in place against the counter. I know we're pushing it, pushing our luck by doing this with Patrick literally 30 feet away, but it's uncontrollable at this point.
I had to come back out of the room and make sure you were all right. I knew he wasn't about to let you off the hook with this family brunch shit.
He comments, his hands traveling from my waist to my hips, over the curve of my ass to the same place Patrick's hands just were.
Plus, I couldn't wonder what his hands were doing to you. I had to know for sure.
Cam. I wince slightly, hating that it hurts him so much when in reality, Patrick's touch means nothing to me anymore. Not compared to his.
Tell me you're mine.
He whispers, leaning in closer, running his lips against mine. I suck in a breath at his ability to make my stomach feel like I'm dropping 20 stories with a slip of a few words. I'm yours, I breathe with confidence. The door to the bathroom opens as we immediately pull away from each other, Huck grabbing for a cup out of the cupboard, me opening the fridge and bending over, trying to breathe while anxiety cripples me in half. I hear the door to our room close, so I know he's in there changing. I stand up, turning to look at Huck with a worried face, showing my stress. He shakes his head, running a hand through his hair, looking over at me.
It's fine, he didn't see.
He says under his breath, practically mouthing the words. I have to stop this. I have to clear the air between Patrick and I. I need to be honest with him. But how honest? I haven't yet decided. He can't know it's Huck. I can't risk him getting kicked out on his ass while he's trying to pick himself back up. It's a strange situation I'm in. We're all in.
Ready, babe?
Patrick asks, walking towards me in his mint green zip-up sweater with his khaki slacks on, his hair parted on the side and slicked back. It's peculiar how even for family, they all feel the need to present themselves by getting dressed up. I look down at my dress quickly, wondering why I've always felt the need to impress these people. With Huck, I could wear a black plastic garbage bag and he'd make me feel like the most exceptional person in the room. Your insides don't matter to these people. It's the outside that counts, the appearances. Huck leans back against the counter with his cup of coffee in hand, eyeing us like, well, like a hawk.
Enjoy the place to yourself for a few hours. Call up your wild thing, show her a good time.
Patrick wiggles his eyebrows at him. I wish I could slap the scowl off Hawk's face, but he quickly changes his expression himself. A sexy grin pulls at his lips before he licks them.
She showed me a good time, last night.
He runs his hand along the back of his neck, tilting his head to the side. Patrick laughs.
Man, I don't know how you do it. So many women.
I'm so uncomfortable standing here for this conversation. I don't want to look Huck in the eye from behind Patrick, but I can't help it. My eyes slowly drift upward and lock onto his.
Nah, there's really only one,
he says, looking directly at me. I swallow, looking down at the floor as I take in some oxygen to survive.
No shit, eh? Finally locking it down?
Patrick asks, pausing with his hand on his hip, astonished.
Crazy, right? She's fucking incredible, though. Wild as fuck. Drives me crazy.
He continues, a twinkle in his playful eyes.
I'm in love with her. It's insane.
Incredible? Well, you should bring her by sometime. We could all have dinner one night.
He offers as my mouth drops open behind him.
I just might.
Hawk responds with a knowing grin.
All right, well, we're heading out.
Patrick gives him a little wave, then heads out of the door. I grab the knob, going to close it, while taking one last look at Huck against the counter. I lick my lips, trying not to smile at his words. He leans his head back confidently, looking at me through his sexy eyelashes while playing with his lip ring. Butterflies everywhere with that look. I'm so in over my head with this guy. In over my head with this whole situation. 35. Brazen Brunch. This couldn't be any more awkward. We get to the family brunch at his parents' house. It's an enormous house built on an old horse ranch with over 50 acres of land, a private pond that boasts nothing but exuberant wealth over the rest of the civilians living in this small town. There are two large iron gates that open for us upon arrival as we drive up the winding driveway to the massive, renovated farmhouse that awaits. His father is standing at the top of the stairs on the large wraparound porch, waiting to greet us. Patrick and I exit the vehicle with the bag of groceries in hand. It's funny how with all this money and help, they still like to act like a potluck somehow grounds them and makes them more normal. It's truly odd. Patrick's father, Dean, welcomes us with hugs at the door, quickly throwing an arm around his son and showing me to the kitchen with the rest of the women. This is how it is. The guys go off and have their cigars and whiskey, and the women find the kitchen. I greet some of the ladies with a polite smile, saying hello as I place the ingredients for the potatoes down on the kitchen island to prepare. They continue their discussion about a woman named Joyce being upset over not getting the lead vocal in the church choir when Patrick's mother, Linda, walks in. She smiles her charmingly bright smile, her perfectly styled hair thrown into a gorgeous twist with a few strands hanging out, with her matching beige ensemble fitting her petite frame effortlessly. Approaching me, she gives me a big hug, immediately asking about work and what's going on in my life. As much as I appreciate her sudden and apparent interest in my life, I know better than to assume she's not judging me for my life choices. Telling her I work at a hole-in-the-wall bar for fun doesn't exactly fly with their family. The other women talk about the devotional club they attend every Wednesday night, and Linda informs me all about it with enthusiasm before telling me I should definitely join them next week. I keep a tight-lipped smile, nodding and agreeing, when I know in my heart I'll never make a devotional class. I'd rather burn in the depths of realistic hell than fake a life with plastics. I truly can't believe I spent so much of my life wishing Patrick's family would accept me. All I ever wanted was for him to propose to me so we could make things official and finally feel like I belonged. But I never belonged here. I'd never fit in with the likes of them because I'm not like them at all. Nicole, dear, won't you grab the homemade coleslaw and bring it out back with me? I'm setting the table now, Linda says, taking two trays of freshly baked buns out towards the door. I ignore the fact that she calls me Nicole and bring the oversized crystallized glass bowl out to the table. The elongated, chippy, white-painted wooden table, the farmer's market flowers and vases along the center, the table runner made with burlap and lace. Every bit of this setup belongs on a magazine cover. It doesn't even look real. If I hadn't made some of the food, I'd think those buns were made of cardboard. Patrick smiles at me as I approach him and his brother talking nearby with some sort of mimosa drink in hand. I can't say I'm excited to see Sean at all. The prick was literally spying on my whereabouts while Patrick was out of town. I'm still heated about that.
Babe, come here. You gotta hear this.
He ushers me over with a grin, pulling me to his side once I'm near.
Sean went to the city last night and actually got to meet Neil Lambright.
Who?
Neil Lambright, the author of My One Chance at Faith. You should know him. You're familiar with books and authors.
He declares, as if I should know him.
Well, anyway, he was holding a reading of his new book last night and Sean got to talk to him and take pictures. He's an amazing guy.
Sean adds as if he knows him personally now. Ah, that's great. I force a smile at Sean, then back at Patrick as they continue talking about this Neil guy who is apparently the new big deal in the Catholic community. Pretty soon his mother is ushering everyone to the table to begin the brunch. I sit between Patrick and his father. His brother Sean directly across from me as his mother runs to sit between Sean and a few of the other women who are here with their husbands as well. They start the meal with a prayer. Then we begin eating with light conversation.
The potatoes, babe, phenomenal.
Patrick declares with a mouthful.
Aren't they amazing, Sean? Haven't tried them yet?
He replies, looking up at Patrick from his plate.
Nicole's potatoes.
My eyes connect with his, and a sly expression overtakes his face.
From what I've heard, everyone loves them.
His eyes narrow at me slightly as he grins. I stare back, trying to interpret the double meaning behind his statement. He made it awkward as hell, insinuating something sexual. Is he being the disgusting pig that he is? Or does he know about me and Hawk? Oh, honey, they're fantastic, his mother comments, interrupting my thoughts while trying them. So, how long have you two been together? An older woman with short, curly hair across the table asks.
Coming up on 3 years now,
Patrick answers, nudging into me lovingly. I see a big wedding in the future, Linda. The lady grins at her. I'm sure you're excited. I feel like I'm being choked by an invisible hand. Breathing is difficult as I listen to them plan my future without me. Oh, we definitely are. The conversation quickly flips over to work as Dean and Patrick discuss the business dealings with their account in Colorado. By the way the conversation is going, I can tell his father is really pushing for him to take over the account and potentially grow the company statewide. Patrick discusses the city as his mother has a keen interest in property value in the Denver area. They've clearly had the discussion about us moving there, and I've not once been asked what I think.
But what would you do with the house, then?
Sean asks his father.
We'd probably just sell it, see if we could get any type of return on it. It's not like it's been really well kept.
Dean scoffs. Wait, are they talking about our place? I whisper to Patrick. He opens his mouth to say something, then twists his lips and doesn't.
But don't you have an agreement? Isn't he supposed to get it?
Sean asks his father, leaning forward. Dean sits up in his seat, clearing his throat while adjusting the collar on his button-up shirt.
That doesn't really concern you, Sean.
I sit there, listening intently as they discuss things I'm clearly unaware of. What agreement? And who is he? Hawk?
I've heard things,
he comments, tilting his head to the side, eyeing Patrick's father.
Well, don't listen to gossip.
Patrick adds in, not looking up from his plate.
I can't believe you're about to give that junkie his house back. He doesn't deserve it after what he did.
Sean's voice becomes louder. I clench my jaw at his words. My face flushes with heat from the anger that's building. I can't sit here and listen to him badmouth Hawk anymore. He's not a junkie. I roll my eyes, trying to breathe calmly before I snap. Sean, honey, let's not raise our voice at the table, please. Linda begs with a sweet smile and light chuckle, clearly uncomfortable with this happening around her guests.
It's really not your place to discuss.
Patrick speaks, looking from his father back to his older brother again.
Whatever. How you two can just let him off is beyond me. How you can live under the same roof as a murderer is crazy in and of itself.
Sean scoffs, pushing back away from the table. A murderer? A woman sitting on the other side of Linda gasps. My gaze narrows in on Sean, sending nothing but knives and daggers in his direction. Patrick seems anxious, nervous in his demeanor. He's continuously fidgeting with the silverware next to his plate as the conversation continues. That's enough now, Linda scolds, attempting to nip this conversation in the bud.
It was the right thing to do,
Patrick says through gritted teeth, scowling at Sean, then exchanging an odd look towards his father again. I've heard that statement before. The right thing to do. But the right thing to do by whom?
He's a drugged-out junkie who murdered his best friend, a kid who actually had a bright future ahead of him. He was messed up out of his mind and crashed his car. It literally doesn't get any worse than that. There's no right thing to do but leave that dumpster fire to burn.
Murdered his best friend? Ben? Vehicular manslaughter! My chest is rising and falling as my eyes dart around the table. Everyone is looking at Sean, shocked, except for Patrick and his father, who are looking down at the table.
Like, who does that?
His best friend killed in the seat next to him because he wanted to be doped up like the addict he is? He deserves to rot in hell.
I stand abruptly from my seat, my chair falling behind me in the process. All eyes are on me now as my fists roll tightly into my hands, the nails about to break skin. I'm practically blowing smoke through my nose. I can't take it anymore. I won't sit here and let you talk about him like that. I direct my anger at Sean, turning to scowl at Patrick for letting this go on. Patrick's head snaps up at me from his seat, cocking a brow at my statement.
I'm just stating the facts, babe. He's a washed-up loser who's not only dangerous, but reckless. He shouldn't be given any handouts.
Sean comments, cooling down a bit at my outburst. This is ridiculous, I announce to the entire table. For all of you who preach about being Christian and Catholic, to then sit here at your fancy dinner in your fancy house, trolling on people whose lives aren't as privileged as yours, judging people who may have made bad decisions or mistakes when they had no help or guidance, you're truly the worst. It's literally disgusting to me. I'm backing away from the table when Patrick grabs my wrist firmly.
Sit down, Nicole,
he grits through his teeth. I rip my hand away from his painful grasp, rubbing it with my other hand, shaking my head at him in disapproval. I've had enough of this, I state, feeling overwhelmed. His parents look at me in disappointment as if I was the root of the problem here. But I don't care anymore. This isn't it for me. These people, this place, this isn't a home. It's a display. A sickening display of wealth and status with no substance underneath. I need to go find Hawk. I stomp back towards the house, finding the keys to the car on the counter, willing to take Patrick's car and just leave him to figure it out. As soon as I get to the car, I start it up as Patrick runs towards the window, aggressively tapping on the glass. I stare forward, gripping the wheel with white knuckles before reluctantly rolling it down. I don't even look at him when he starts talking.
What was that all about, Nick?
I can't do this anymore, Patrick, I say, my heart racing, the beats practically pounding out of the middle of my chest. It's not right. None of this. I'm not only referring to the situation, but to us. He leans forward, his hands gripping the doorframe above the car window.
You're just stressed. I know you're struggling with the idea of things changing, but I promise you it's for the best.
Pat? You never even talk to me about moving. It's like I don't even have a say in our future. I sigh, exacerbated. I mean, Jesus, did you not even notice where I was last night? It's all coming out. I'm losing control.
I know you slept on the couch again. I just assumed you needed a little space to get your head right.
My head right? I scoff at his ludicrous assumption that I need to get it together. He doesn't even know I wasn't home.
Let's just calm down, go back inside, apologize for the outburst, and continue on with lunch. This was supposed to be a special day.
Special? Bad-mouthing your roommate, who is supposed to be your friend, while discussing what to do with the house? Selling it out from under him? I'm confused, Patrick. What happened? There's something you aren't telling me. What happened between you two? He looks down at his feet before looking back up at the house with squinted eyes from the sun's direct exposure on him. It's as if even the sun is putting him on blast.
Some things are better left in the past, where they belong.
I shake my head. It's not good enough. No, not this, I reiterate. Not this.
Get back in the house.
No. I move to put the car in drive, but stall when his fingers grip the edge of the car window.
Get back in the house, Nick,
he demands through his teeth, clearly annoyed. I'm leaving. Have Sean give you a ride.
Get back in the house, Nick,
he screams, grabbing for my wrist on the steering wheel. He opens the door, pulling my arm, attempting to remove me from the vehicle. I twist my wrist, removing his grasp from me as I stumble out of the seat onto the gravel driveway, then push up off my heels back against the car. A look of complete shock and hurt taking over my face.
Patrick?
His father yells sternly from the house. Immediately, tears fall from my eyes. He's never once screamed like this before. He's never once touched me so roughly that he marked my skin with his grasp. His father steps out from the door, walking down the porch towards us. He grabs Patrick's arm, slowly pulling him away from the vehicle, whispering something into his ear. Patrick looks defeated and entirely upset, but nods his head, looking back at me with a sorrowful face as I get back into the vehicle. I watch as he walks towards the house where his mother is waiting with her arms crossed by the door, the wrinkles on her forehead never more present compared to her previously poised face. Dean leans down to the window of the car, and a chill runs down my spine at his calm and cool demeanor. He's a powerful man for a reason.
I think it's best if you go now.
He nods, dismissing me, clearly upset at me for this disturbance. That's what I've been trying to do, I retort with a snippy tone. I glare at him as he turns back towards Patrick, wrapping an arm around him and patting his shoulder as they walk back inside. Their whispers continue like little leaves tumbling through the wind, leaving tiny piles of decaying life all around. It's more than obvious now that Patrick and Hawk's stories are somehow intertwined. There are some deep secrets hidden beneath the superficial surface of the most prestigious family in this little podunk town. As for how deep, I'm bound and determined to find out. 36. Tearing through scars. I head for the house in search of him. I have to find him. I have to talk to him. I've picked up on the cues, the subtle hints floating around me, almost begging to be grabbed, begging to be known. It's all become so clear to me. I know Patrick will be at his parents' house for a while. There's no way he'll be leaving there anytime soon after that. He's not the type to chase me, nor will his parents allow that. I know it, which is why I ran. I need to talk to Hawk. I know the truth in my heart. I burst through the door, my eyes scanning the kitchen, then the living room, to find both empty and void of him. My stomach gets a sickening feeling that maybe me leaving for brunch with Patrick was too much for him to bear. What if he needed to find a way to feel numb again? I check his room and find that empty too. I'm beginning to lose all hope until my senses come into play and I hear running water in the bathroom. I run for it, opening the door to the dimly lit space, seeing his outline in the shower behind the semi-fogged glass. He's in the shower, wearing his clothes beneath the water, as if he stepped into there not even thinking. His forearms are against the wall, holding his head in his hands as the water pours down the back of his neck. I don't even need to ask. I know what he's doing. He's drowning out the pain of not knowing what's happening, what I'm doing, or how it's all unfolding. More than likely, assuming the worst. It's not as if his life has given him much opportunity to see things with a glass half full. He's awaiting heartbreak, like an injured animal awaits death. The thought, inevitable to him. He's letting the rain of the showerhead beat down on the back of his skull, drowning out the endless thoughts that plague his tortured mind. I step into the shower alongside him, letting my hair and dress get drenched with the residual water pouring off his tall frame. The water is cold, almost as cold as the intentions of those who left him to ruin in his own dismay. His head turns towards me as he sucks in a breath at the sight of me.
Cole, what are you?
He straightens, running a hand through his hair. He takes a step towards me as I take one towards him. I feel his pain as I study his eyes, going over the words Sean said at the table and getting an overwhelming feeling of protectiveness and possessiveness over him.
What happened? Are you all right?
He licks his lips, looking at me with his brows furrowed and his mouth dropping open. I just stare at him, the pain in my heart overwhelming me. Everything I've ever said to him, how I treated him when he first came here, all of it coming full circle. Of course he thought I was like Patrick and them. Because I was. I was a judgmental, stuck-up bitch who treated him like shit without even trying to get to know the man beneath the tattoos and the bad boy appearance. The gentle, loving man beneath the surface.
It's over, isn't it?
He breathes, his eyes emanating pure sadness and defeat.
You're staying with him. You've chosen him.
My mouth drops open at his statement. I'm in shock just hearing him assume that, after everything we've been through.
Fuck, I knew it. I fucking knew it.
He runs his hands through his hair, bending over at the waist, grabbing the wall for support as breathing becomes difficult for him.
Shit. It hurts. It hurts so bad.
I shake my head, grabbing for his wrist and pulling it to me.
I can't lose you. I can't. Cole, you're everything to me now.
His chest is heaving, his breaths becoming short. No, Cam. No. That's not it at all, I say, squinting as the water droplets hit my face. I left. His eyes turn hopeful as he stands back up again.
You left.
He repeats the words, looking at my hand on his wrist in disbelief. It's then that he notices the marks. He pulls my wrist up to his face to inspect them.
What the fuck is this?
His deep voice turns into a growl. Nothing.
He hurt you. He fucking touched you.
Cameron, stop, please. Just listen for a second, I plead, interrupting what will surely turn into a beatdown. I know. His face contorts as the water continues to drip off his perfectly round lips.
You know? You know what?
I shake my head, wincing my eyes, not wanting it to come to this. I know the wound I'm ripping open. I know the scar I'm cutting back into, the flesh of a past that never fully healed. You didn't kill Ben. He immediately stiffens at the name, his face becoming stone-like. It wasn't you, was it? You weren't the one driving, were you? I ask, reaching for his chest, the wet t-shirt clinging to his skin. He starts slowly shaking his head back and forth, pulling away from me slightly to gauge the look in my eyes.
Don't fuck with me, Cole. Don't you do this to me.
He warns, distress obvious in his tone. He's barricaded behind his wall. The one built over years of trauma. Years of being on his own. Finally, there comes someone willing to peek through his holes, offering him a comforting hand to hold. One he's not quite ready to accept. He's like a wild animal, non-trusting of humans after a lifetime of knowing human nature. I can't even blame him. I offer my hands to him, holding them out as I lick my lips, the tears that have formed in my eyes blending into the water pouring down my face. It wasn't you.
Please don't.
His voice cracks as he remains frozen in place, gazing at my open hands, afraid. You didn't kill him, I repeat, needing him to hear me say it, hoping that if I do, maybe he'll finally begin to believe it. I know you didn't. I place my hands on his face and he winces at the contact. He's backed into a corner, finally facing this. I run my fingers through his hair, pushing it off his forehead before trailing them down his cheekbones and along his jaw. I hold his face in my hands, staring up at him as he gazes back at me. It wasn't your fault, Cameron.
It was my fault.
He reiterates, trying to convince me, but I know better. You were there, and maybe you convinced yourself you could have changed something. But you didn't drive that car. You didn't kill him. They did. I'm crying as I speak the words, waiting for him to respond and accept what I now know to be the truth. He's tied into this, paid the price for something someone else did. I see it all now. See the way their lives are intertwined. The subtle glances between Patrick and his father at brunch spoke volumes. His arms begin shaking by his side, then his whole body shakes. His eyes close tightly as he drops his head down. It's then that he falls apart. He falls to the shower floor, raking his hands down his face as he sobs. He lets it all out. Years of emotional trauma trapped beneath his tough facade. He's finally breaking free and releasing everything that's been needing to come out. I fall with him, wrapping myself around his trembling shoulders, holding him together and whispering softly how it will all be okay, telling him I'm here for him. We sit like that for what feels like forever. The silence between us, eerily serene. He clutches onto me, his fingers gripping into the skin of my shoulders as if his one chance at the life he wants is sitting here at the bottom of this shower with him, about to dissipate into thin air like the future he'd once hoped for. His tears fall, the pain of that event leaving him with each and every drop that runs free. I pull back slightly, turning the water off before brushing the inky, wet strands of hair out of his eyes. I cup his face in my hands, gazing at him, needing his eyes to find mine for some comfort, wanting him to see the truth in them.
I didn't kill him. I didn't fucking do it.
He throws the back of his fist against the wall of the shower, grunting in anger and frustration. He pulls at the roots of his hair, screaming, the agony in his voice breaking my heart. I know, Cam. I know. I nod, crying as I listen to him finally admit this truth.
He was my best friend.
He falls apart again at the memory, his reddened eyes holding his endless torment.
I held him in my arms as he bled out around me. He took his last breath, looking me in the eyes. I see it, that image, every night.
I'm sorry, I cry out, wrapping my hands around his head and pulling him into me to hold his cheek against my chest, needing him near my heart. I'm so sorry. There's nothing I can say to take his pain away. I can only listen and be here for him, holding him against me as I rock him back and forth, comforting him, understanding the truth that's been hiding deep within him for so long. It's taken so much for him to get to this place right here, in my arms, releasing it all. After a moment, he takes a few shaky breaths, sighing it out before laying his head against the side of the shower. His face appears hollow, like reliving the memory had brought the ghosts to life again. His eyes are swollen from crying, the circles beneath them telling a story of tireless agony. We're both just sitting here at the bottom of the shower, drenched in our clothes, not caring about anything or anyone around us but each other. We have to go, I whisper, grabbing his hands in mine. We have to get out of here. I help lift his broken form from the shower floor before we change out of our wet clothes, Hawk hanging his from the shower as I quickly throw my dress into the wash. Getting into some comfortable sweats, we quickly pack an overnight bag in silence, get into my car, and leave. I'm not even sure where we're going, but we're going there together. Tonight. There isn't a plan, but we can't stay here and risk Patrick coming back.
If you head over to Brockton, there's a motel off Highway 19.
He informs me as I take a left towards the next town over. We find the motel he was talking about. A cute little place that's tucked away in a secluded, wooded area off the old highway road. A perfect hideaway spot. Hawk pays in cash for the night as he's given the keys to the room. We walk in, dropping our bags on one of the queen beds, standing there for a moment to finally breathe. It's been a long day, and while there's so much more to uncover, I think we're both so used up and spent emotionally. He sits on the edge of the bed, his elbows on his knees and his head in his hands, raking them through his locks before biting his bottom lip and looking up at me with heartbreaking pain. I stand there, a few feet from him, giving him some space to reflect, when he reaches out an arm for me.
Cole,
he says softly, some hesitation in his tone. I walk towards where he's sitting and plant myself on the floor between his legs, looking up at eyes that are unsure.
How did you find out?
He asks softly, his eyes pinching in the corners. I shake my head, closing the space between us, cupping his jaw in my hands. I didn't. I just knew. He swallows, closing his eyes tightly, a wave of overwhelming gratefulness washing over him. I grab for his hand, pressing his palm to my heart, then press mine to his. He sighs, his brows knitting together, holding back tears. He licks his lips before leaning down and sealing them to mine. I kiss his top lip, then his bottom, then the corner of his mouth, before he presses his mouth firmly on mine. The kiss quickly turns passionate, our mouths and tongues comforting, healing, kneading. All of this time, he's been looking through me, willing me to know his deepest, darkest secrets, hoping by some small amount of faith that I'd figure it out. The pain and torture of needing to keep it all in when I'm sure all he wished was to let it out, telling me everything. There's more to unravel, more to dig out of the grave. But at the moment, I want to focus on healing him, showing him my love and showering him with my support when he spent years fighting this alone. He's always needed me, just as I've needed him. I'm finally here, where I belong, and I'm never letting go. 37. Covering Scars. We're here now, alone in this hotel room with the space to be wild in love, the freedom to be ourselves. I lean up onto my knees between his thighs as our kiss continues, our lips and tongues moving together flawlessly, showcasing our desire, our uncontrolled need for one another.
I love you, Cole,
he whispers between kisses.
I love you with everything I am.
I know. I wince my eyes, feeling every bit of that love. I know you do. Our emotions from the heavy topic have turned into passion. I want to erase his bad memories by providing new ones filled with my love for him and who he is. I want him to feel wanted like he never has before. Want him to feel needed the way he is. My hands travel from his knees, up his thighs as he holds my face to his, kissing me softly with his pillowy lips. I grab for the hem of his t-shirt and slip my hands beneath it, feeling his hard, warm abdomen against the tips of my fingers. He drops his hands, reaching behind him and takes his shirt off in one swift pull. I litter his chest with soft, wet kisses, gently trailing my tongue down the deep cuts of his muscles that lead towards the tented area beneath his sweats. I want to kiss you, I whisper against his skin, everywhere. His mouth drops open as he plants his hands behind him on the bed, watching me with submissive eyes. I pull at his sweatpants, stretching the elastic out as I reach inside to find him fully erect inside his boxers. I flush at the discovery that our kiss excites him as much as it does me. He hisses as I palm the base of his growing length.
Oh, Cole.
I gaze up into his eyes before angling his cock to my mouth. I softly kiss the tip, then drag my lips down to the base. His legs stretch out, his heels digging into the floor as I lick up the side of his velvety shaft, my tongue traveling over the veins shooting up along its length. He falls back onto his elbows, groaning up at the ceiling as I begin slowly sucking, taking him into my mouth deeper and deeper until I take as much as possible, wetting every inch of him.
Can I?
He stalls with a breathy groan.
Can I touch you?
I nod, keeping him deep in my mouth. My saliva wetting his shaft allows for my hands to effortlessly glide over the rest of him. He takes one of his hands and gently scoops up my hair, holding tightly as he bobs my head, showing me what he likes.
Fuck, Cole, you're so good at this.
Hearing him give me praise makes me want to do more to drive him wild. I give him my throat as he pulls my hair tightly, holding me in place while he drives into me madly. After a minute of letting him take control, I choke on his length and need to push back to stop him in order to catch my breath.
Shit, baby, I'm sorry,
he says quickly, leaning forward to cup my face. No, I shake my head, taking a breath before swallowing. No, I like it.
You like it?
He asks with a cocked brow and a curious grin pulling at his lips. Yeah, I look up at him, my lips wet and swollen from use. It excites me. He stares at me for a minute, almost in disbelief.
Show me,
he demands. He helps me up off the floor, laying me down with my back now on the bed. Pulling my sweatpants down, I'm left in my thong and oversized t-shirt. Yeah, I didn't exactly plan a super sexy outfit, given the circumstances, but he doesn't seem to mind. With my bottom on the edge of the bed, he kneels down where I was. His hand runs over my stomach, slowly dragging it up under my shirt and over my bra while his eyes stay focused on my face. His thumb flicks over the sensitive nipple, making me arch up into it. The fingers of his other hand lace through the front of my underwear, pulling them to the side. I feel slightly exposed and vulnerable with his face literally right there, inches away from my wet and eager sex. He takes both hands, spreading my milky thighs wide, before sliding his finger along my pooling arousal.
Jesus, you do love it.
He groans at the sight of me, bare before him as he dips his head between my legs, making me gasp at the feeling of his tongue on me, his hair tickling my thighs. The sensation of his warm, wet mouth, paired with the cool feeling of the metal ring in his lip, is sending me into blissful overdrive. His expert tongue licks the length of me, lapping up everything I have to offer him. I clutch the sheets in my hand, the other gripping the hair at the top of his head, my eyes rolling into the back of my head as he continues the beautiful torment. Gently sucking my clit between his lips, he inserts two fingers, causing me to cry out. He massages his fingers into me while flicking his tongue in all the right places. I moan and writhe beneath his touch as the amazing sensation begins to build. Come, stop, I'm gonna...
Come,
he answers for me in a demanding tone.
Come and then do it again.
I lose all sense of control, submitting to his tongue and let go around his fingers, squeezing onto them internally, feeling the pulsating wave of pleasure roll through my core as I orgasm. His relentless tongue continues until I'm begging him to stop the sweet, sensitive torture of it all. I'm completely out of breath, numb in the face as I try to keep my eyes open enough to see him above me.
You're so beautiful when you let go,
he says before dipping down and kissing my neck. My breathing regulates as I cup the back of his head, my fingers threading through his hair as he licks and sucks the side of my neck, hovering above me. His hand cups my breast as he groans into my neck, toying with the nipple.
God, you're perfect and don't even know it,
he whispers before finding my achingly erect nipple with his lips. He sucks on the soft tissue, dragging his teeth lightly before pulling back and releasing it. He swirls his tongue around it, repeating the same motion as I moan at the pleasure it brings me. How I can be ready for more is beyond me, but it just never ends with him. The more I get, the more I need. I reach down with my other hand, finding his painfully stiff erection in need of his own release. Come here, I whisper, backing up. We settle ourselves in the middle of the bed as we remove the rest of our clothing. He falls between my thighs again, his arms bracing around me as he gazes into me. "Show me your scars, Cameron," I say, while my fingers caress his cheekbone. "Let me be the one to see them all." The energy shifts as his eyes grow serious, his lips hovering above mine. The overabundant need to prove that our love is real and right has never been more our mission.
"Fuck, I love you,"
he breathes, gazing back and forth between my eyes. He closes the space between us, his lips gliding across my lips, then rests his head on mine as he pushes himself into me in one swift motion. My back arches as I gasp, accepting him into my walls. He's so ready, so achingly present with me in this moment, so in need of everything I can offer.